Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, May 1st of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's good to be back on the air. Came back from Illinois and then Ohio after being gone the previous few days. And I have to say, in many parts of the country, today and tomorrow, it doesn't quite feel like the 1st of May is supposed to.
No.
Usually in early May right now, generally, we should generally be about like 64, 65, like that. Generally, not 70s yet based on a daily averages that are used by NOAA, National Oceanic Aeronautics Administration, basically NOAA. Based on NOAA averages, generally, we shouldn't be at 70 on a daily basis until like right about May 20th or so.
Right.
And it's not May 20th yet. But where I was a couple of days ago down there in Cincinnati, they got close to 70, but stopped just short of it. But up here it was like raining, cold, you know, 50
yeah.
degrees, you know. And up in Traverse City, and Miss Alexis here could tell you what was falling out of the sky up in Traverse City and possibly sticking to some things.
You know, I have so much opportunity to go try way awry, but it was snow, Rivers. It was snow, S-N-O-W. It was snow sticking to the ground.
On May the 1st.
On May the 1st.
And apparently up in the UP, there are storm warnings for the white stuff that could be up to like 2 to 3 feet.
Yes.
Did you hear about those?
I have heard about those.
Weren't there some winter weather advisories for northern lower or no?
I don't think there are right now. I'm not aware. I also haven't really looked, though.
But around here, you know, could just be some light white showers. And obviously, you know, in the past, generally, when we think of May, of showers of that type, generally the farther south it'll go is to, like, you know, there's like a certain point in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like where, like by where, once you pass that point, it doesn't happen. And
yes.
I would say it's probably like somewhere like a bit past Akron or something on the east side. On the west side, I think it's before you even get to Cincinnati, I'm sure.
Okay.
Like I imagine in Cincinnati, especially at the airport, which is in Kentucky, I bet you they've never had May white stuff.
I don't think so. I wouldn't think so. Not in the history of America that I know of.
Lexington, you would say no.
As in
American weather history back to like the 1880s or whatever, you would say no.
No, I would say no, correct. I know that during the Civil War, during the spring of the Civil War, there was some wild weather patterns happening on the East Coast because the storm that was going on when General George Washington was on the Potomac, I do believe that was either an early season or a late season storm that happened.
Was it in like August, September?
I'm looking it up right now because I want to have the right answer for you.
And that is like a tad more south than like Cincinnati would be, and they had it.
Yeah. But that was also on the East Coast, so they had a lot more ocean contribution to weather. And the ocean does contribute a ton. It can make it snow, you know, on the East Coast, further down the East Coast.
But probably not in places like the Carolinas.
Not typically, no.
And in May, except for maybe once or twice ever in the history of America, no. And in Florida, forget it.
Because
once you get to like far south Georgia and Florida, especially Florida, like those mountains have kind of locked the cooler air more north.
Okay.
Does that make sense that they would kind of lock it in more north? Like that the mountains would have something to do with it maybe?
It does. Okay, so Lexington, Kentucky gets about 14 inches of snow per year.
Yeah, they do get about 14, but I mean as far as May.
Oh, yeah, for May. It shows that April they'll have sometimes less than 2 hours in a day. But outside of November and December, there's not much.
Yeah, only November, December, basically, which then, of course, January, February. Yep, then like, but May, nope. But here we're supposed to get a little bit like tonight into tomorrow, but it's not going to be any real inches for at least us here and on top. But all we have to do, us folks in Michigan, all we have to do is just make it a few more days, and then it looks like by Monday we go to 70. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Woo!
Yes, because that's more a little bit more May-ish to me, because obviously in the era of what they like to call, global warming and that, you know, regardless of whether you think it's real or not, the truth of the matter is, whether we cause it or not, and there can be all kinds of debates, so I'm kind of open to those different,
yes.
But let me tell you the truth. The truth is, over many, 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 many years, it's been hotter and it's been colder.
Yes.
So to a degree, whether we call it this round or not, there has always been climate change of some kind happening.
Yeah.
So the whole
planet, there's always been climate change.
So they can think, oh, we can totally stop climate change and there will be no climate change, period. It'll still change.
Well, yeah, but they're just trying to slow down negative climate change that's mm-hmm. caused by humans, yeah. You know?
You know, like whether you force folks, you know, and I'm not going to control your brains either, listeners, you know.
No.
I'm not going to control your brains. You can, you know, you can say it's a farce. You can say it's for real. You can say, I'm not taking a side, but what they're after is after a certain kind. But that doesn't mean there will never be change again, because there will be. And if the Lord, and there has been, you know, ice ages, and that, thankfully, we weren't here for one of those.
Oh, yeah.
In an ice age, why do I picture in an ice age, SNOW, on my birthday?
Oh,
why?
Because it's an ice age. I think there's SNOW on everybody's birthday.
It, including down in, like, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I think the equator would be the only area that wouldn't have snow on your birthday.
And I bet you're Chattanooga, because they get more precip than us, they possibly get more.
Oh, they would probably have ice. They would probably have glaciers or something.
What about Florida? Would they be safe?
I don't know.
Can I go lay on the beach and it be 80 degrees?
No, I don't think so, actually. I don't think that's going to work out in your favor at all.
Can I go to Jamaica? Oh, mama. Can I go to the Bahamas and Jamaica and be safe there?
I don't think so. But, hey, Rip, I heard.
So I did. So yesterday I got to meet someone who I've wanted to meet for a while.
Yes.
This is someone named Phil Driscoll. I don't know. Some of you folks have certainly heard of him. At least I really hope some of you have. That are listening to this program. Some of you might have grown up on his music maybe, or maybe you listen to it now even. And
yeah.
And if you do, it's some awesome stuff. He He is now the husband of the bishop pastor of a church called Solid Rock Church down there in the Cincinnati area of Ohio, Lebanon, Ohio, kind of between Cincinnati and Dayton. So, yeah, Cincinnati area, we'll say.
Okay.
And so I got to meet him personally, and he had spoke a word over me back in September when he was up here for one of the nights of a conference, and I'd wanted to go to that church even before then, but it was awesome. The worship was awesome, and I got to meet him, and he told me he was going to give me. He was going to give me and my parents, his music. And I thought that was so cool.
And he
prayed over me, and it was just an awesome thing. And in fact, my picture's up on, the picture is up on my Facebook. And if you've ever heard the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words, you know, I can believe it, honestly, even the hope. I'm still believing to see the pictures.
Right.
But I've heard the phrase many a times, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yes.
Obviously, to me, I don't know that it's worth a thousand words yet. To me, at this point in the natural, the words mean more. But still, I mean, when my sight gets made manifest, I'm sure that'll make sense to me. Hopefully right that minute, but who knows? You know, maybe that's enough to pray about and ask God to show me. Show me about the picture means more than a thousand words.
A picture is worth as much as a thousand words. Not worth more than a thousand words.
Worth as much as.
As much as. And do you know why?
Why is that?
A picture captures a moment in time. When your camera flashes, when your shutter clicks, it like copies what's happening in front of the screen. So years down the road, maybe pictures are for people with sight, sadly. That's just the truth. But you can look at that and say, oh, I forgot my grandpa had a mustache in the 70s. Oh my gosh, he looked so cool. And for a lot of sighted people, having these pictures to look back on, it can fill them with love. It can remind them of people who maybe have already gone ahead to heaven or wherever they were going, you know, people who were separated by moves or school or military or anything. That picture can really help bring more than just the vision back into their mind. So pictures can be super comforting. That's why they're worth a thousand words.
Yep. Of course, they can also bring grief, too.
Mm-hmm.
As with everything else that can be comforting, it can also have the opposite effect.
Well, grief is, it's just love. That's all it is. Grief is love that continues without being reciprocated.
Even though it might not be positive.
Well, yeah. It's just you still had so much love for them. So
yeah.
The grief is all that love that you had left over for them.
But then, provided they make heaven, it means you know, at least you can rest in comfort knowing. Well,
absolutely.
At least the bad news is they're not here on earth with me.
Yeah.
But the good news is at least they're up with my Savior.
Exactly. At least they are at the party of their lives right now.
Which I don't know what you think about it, but to me, that's better than any earthly party there can be.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean that's where the phrase to live is Christ, but to die is gain comes from, because heaven's going to be so much better than earth ever could be.
Right.
So living on the planet, we are doing Christ's work.
Opinion based on like what God says about it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of my way of saying, you can think of me what you want. You can turn me off if you want, but at the same time, I wish you wouldn't, but at the same time, you're going to think what you're going to think.
Absolutely, yep.
So that's why I go like, so that's why I'll say like in my mind,
Yes.
At least the way I see it, the way God sees it.
Yeah.
And And where I don't, I always hope to, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that our thoughts can be like, you know, his thoughts. And by the way, folks, Bishop Darlene Driscoll, Bishop Darlene Driscoll, she taught on, you know, thoughts yesterday, and our thoughts are very important, just as our tongue is so important, you know what?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, folks, I'm going to give you a Bible verse. I hope you know it, but if you don't, it's going to be revealed to you right now. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. So when you wonder why things are going a certain way for you, and you wish it wasn't going that way, sometimes you can take a look and go, wait, what am I saying over my mouth? What am I saying over my mouth? Am I calling myself fat, ugly, dumb, poor,
yeah.
loser? Or am I calling myself blessed of the Lord? You know, and a winner and speaking, you know, God's going to use me. And so that's where, you know, that's where what you say is so important to where there's more to it than just, you know, let no foul communication come out of your lips.
Right.
You know, which obviously as a Christian you shouldn't be like cursing or anything, but even comes down at like, what are you saying over yourself? Are you saying over yourself that you're a winner? You know, and prospering and God's using you? Or are you calling yourself dumb, ugly? You know?
Yeah.
Because and you gotta let God use you. And it's so very important. And did you know that in the course of a year you will have a couple million thoughts? Million.
Oh yeah.
And the truth is you might not think about all of them or anywhere near them. You'll think, I imagine you'll think of at least 50 of them, of the thoughts you'll have in the day, maybe more.
Like those ones will linger with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you were to guess, would you say that's about right?
I'm not a good person to ask that question.
I don't know.
I'd say as a whole, like maybe if we evened it out, medianed it out, probably.
And some of them might not mean a thing.
Yeah, some of those are just existence autopilot.
They're just little thoughts. They're just little, some of them are just little, like, I guess I can't change them whether I want to or not.
Right. Well, you don't actively think to breathe, but you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you are. It's like
that's
your brain is.
Yeah, it's still happening.
Yes, because that brain is like a computer.
Yeah.
And it's never been turned completely off. That brain of ours is never thrown into complete and utter sleep mode to where nothing is coming out, you know?
Yeah.
Like
so is that what Bishop Driscoll spoke on was the thoughts?
Yeah, like our thoughts and like how we
speak to ourselves.
That's part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, but it's like you can have what you say, but you have to, but also, you know, and the truth is what you say is, you know, because chances are you're going to say part of what you're thinking.
Yes.
Even if not all of them, and even if you purpose to watch what comes out of it, you know, there'll be some things that you think. And hopefully you got a good mind, and hopefully you've been washing your mind with the water of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because you have to. If you don't, who knows what's gonna go in it? You know, and it might not be good things. And some of you young people need to get a hold of this too, because the depression rate. The rate of those who have contemplated suicide, It is astounding. It's worse than it's ever been that I know of. Like, it is terrible. And so, some people,
yeah,
they need to, some people, like, if they got the word of God in their mind, if they got, they can say, oh, it's this, but you know, God makes a difference. God really does make a difference.
Yes.
And I can even testify that to me it does, because I feel like it made one in my life, because I will tell you, I would act out a lot in like fifth grade. It was not pretty.
Yeah.
But you know, but I felt like part of it, you know, between medicine and other things, but I think God also helped, I'm sure of it, because at some point, like, I knew I had a problem, and I felt like as part of that, I had to give it to God.
Yes.
Because at some point, you know, when you're dealing with those different things, and maybe you have, you know, maybe you have autism, maybe you have something else, maybe you have combination, but the truth is you've got to at least come to a place where you can give it to God.
Yeah.
And give those thoughts that you're having to God, and for that, your thoughts become Him, you know.
River, you're preaching already, and
I was just sharing kind of based
what's on your heart
last night, because sometimes, you know, because sometimes before, when I feel like God is kind of telling me that I'm supposed to touch on something a little bit,
yeah,
then I do it.
You follow the spirit.
That's what I always try to do. So Illinois, Rambo. I pull into Illinois Wednesday. I go to, you know, the hotel. Then I go to Rambo's meeting, and it's very powerful. And
who is Rambo?
His first name is Ramboo, but people always call him Rambo.
Okay.
He's like a big evangelist that's from India, and been coming to America the last couple of years on and off.
All right.
And he'll like do a meeting for a few days.
Awesome.
A few days.
So kind of like a traveling evangelist.
And my dad considers my dad like his sixth man or something like that. And so it's
that's awesome.
Really cool that he's called on my dad to do things before and stuff. And I think it's real cool. And healing miracles were happening over the previous days before I got there. And he even called me up he called up those who were dealing with, you know, stuff with their ear. And so I go up there, and part of my right ear canal, which I'm believing God is going to totally make a real ear canal, but my right ear has been like constructed in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But my right, where a canal should be, it was getting deteriorating. It was not looking the greatest that it could. But then God really healed that area up. Even though I can't hear out of it yet, I'm still believing that's coming.
Absolutely.
But I feel like God did something in there. And it's not like I took a special cream or anything like that and put it on there or anything like that. God did that, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Rambo, like, trying to, you know, do something with it or whatever. Nope.
It's no snake oil. There's no gimmick.
There's not a gimmick. There wasn't any gimmicks or anything like that. And there were different people healed of different things, different people who were struggling with different pains and all different things, and God was healing them. And it was powerful to hear the different stories, the different testimonies of people who had been healed of different things, where he called people out and they were
healed,
testifying about them being healings, and that is, you know, Bible stuff. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just the kind of stuff like
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
They're all full of it.
Which they're all full of it. They're all full of God, you know. Just
and even Acts, because Acts is about the Acts of Jesus, correct?
The Acts of the Apostles, but yes, of course, Acts of the Apostles, because they're all being used by Jesus.
Right.
Because that's where you start to first see the church in action based on Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it's the start of that.
Yes.
Like the modern, like what we could kind of call.
Post-ascension?
Yeah, post-ascension. We could somewhat say like the modern day church, but.
Right, early church.
Like the early true church. Like by this point, you're beyond the synagogues.
Yes, the capital C. Church.
Like it was the church with a capital C.
Yeah.
Like not individual little C.
Yes.
Churches.
Yes, exactly.
Like
this is the church.
Like the church with a capital C. Not like just individual churches like, you know, Living Word Church here in Midland, or, you know, Pentecostal Church, or like.
Yeah.
Or like, Solid Rock Church in Cincinnati or whatever other churches, Pentecostal Temple. Yeah, like, name a church. Was I referring to the church? Like, not individual churches that weren't quite developed yet in this country. The believers of Jesus.
The truth is,
we are the church.
Yes. The people are the church. The building is not the church.
The building is a place
where they
go and worship and present their tithes and offerings.
The building is a lower C church.
Yes, it is. Yes, and it still is a building. So based on a building, it's a church.
Yes.
Lower C church.
But we are the capital C church. When we're reading the Bible and there's a capital C, they're talking about us.
Like what it says, the church.
Yes, the church in synagogue. They're not, or in Ephesus, they're not talking about the building. There's a very good chance there wasn't a building.
And when they're talking about the church at Smyrna, they're not talking about Smyrna, Georgia, which is actually a suburb of ATL.
That's a nice connection. I like that.
But that Smyrna, of course, was a different Smyrna. I always said if I went to either of the seven and I was from that day, I'd be like, I'll take the one at Smyrna. That's pretty close, you know.
Yeah.
Where you only have to go a little ways to get to ATL, to get to the downtown and go to the airport and what have you.
Right. Okay, so Rambo was praying over you.
Yeah, and then he called me up, and then at the end of the service, he prayed over my eyes. And that was really cool that he prayed over me.
The specificity of it
was just amazing. And it was like he knew. And he is awesome. This was the first time that I had actually been in one of his meetings in person. And let me tell you, honestly, to me, it was awesome.
When you meet somebody who is so in tune with God's spirit, it's like they hum at a different vibration or something, at least for me, and it's like I want to be in the room with them. Do you feel that way as well?
You know, I always think it's cool, too. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And obviously, different people will have different ways that they'll say it.
Yeah.
Well, Alexis just said, she just said what she thought, and then...
Yes, but that's just my personal.
Everybody's going to say it their own way, even if they totally agree.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, we're...
There's so many words in the English language. If people don't say things differently, then they're missing out on so many.
You know, there's so many, but there's also so few at the same time. Okay, real quick, I just checked my time, and Lord have mercy, the clock. But anyhow, real quickly, I promise, the first thing I want to remind you about is about my book, Rivers of Miracles, just the story of my life and how great God has been. And if you read this book, you know, you go through the different miracles, and I pray that you'll be able to see through that. that God does do miracles. He does, that he still does today, still 2,000 years, I mean, thousands of years later, he still does miracles. And you can just see through that. And these stories that are in the book, they're real stories. None of them were made up. Not one of them.
Nope.
They're all verifiable, too. Every one of them. And God did those miracles. I didn't do them. Dr. Buckley didn't do them. My mother did not do them.
Rambo
didn't do them. Of course, when I was little, I didn't know Rambo. When the book was written, I didn't know Rambo.
Right.
but anyhow, you know, I am living proof that Jesus still does miracles, because without him, I know, pretty much know, I would have been dead without him. I would have been dead. But praise God, I'm not, and I'm bringing you the program.
Yeah.
So go online to the website riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers, RIVERS, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing to your life, as I pray that it can be. And I always thank the Lord every time I get notified that someone bought a book. And we've even given these books to people before, and everyone who reads it that we know of is, you know, they basically all loved it.
Yeah.
You know, but basically everyone we know of that's read it, who has talked to us about it. And so that's something I thank God for. And then the other thing real quick I want to remind you of is about PayPal. And you can go online to paypal.com if you wish to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program and help just keep us going and reaching more people. And we keep believing God for more and more people to find this program and to hear the word of God. And you can go online to paypal.com to sow your seed. And when you get on there, if you get in the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. That's my name, RYVERS. Last name, Shukla, SHUKLA. And keep in mind, the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. Another thing related to that is that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So please make a note of that. That way I can make sure that the seed that you want to sow is going to the right place, to where to go. And there's no pressure. I don't turn my programs into fundraisers.
Right.
I don't do that here. I've heard some regular radio stations, Christian radio stations, that do that. I don't do that here on this program. I just come on here and, you know, I sing you songs. I bring you the word of God. I talk some sports here and there, especially in the fall, you know, with the football and what have you. So now I'm going to sing a couple of songs. Wandering into the night, my love's silvering, this bag of bones.
This weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might.
I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. You swing eyes, but I'm a man I didn't know. told me that I was not alone. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Not denied.
No choice but to believe.
My doubt.
Doubts are burning
like
ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends.
Burden and
bitterness.
You can just keep them moving.
You're not welcome here. I ran out of the road. I'm at an end. I know your sin saved my soul. This wayward child has found his way back home. Because he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. And I lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. Hell lost. I'm free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Yeah. Because he picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. He picked me up, he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. You give life, You are love. You give light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Chris,
what?
I do have an acoustic audio for the last song if you want to try it.
I'll say it this way. Go ahead and start my audio for this one.
Okay. Great.
Go ahead and roll it.
Okay.
What does roll it mean more? Mean only just for the camera?
No, I think roll it works for this one too.
Okay.
Roll. Oh no, I'm so sorry. There's an ad popped up. I'm so sorry. I had it set.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, okay. It happens. You know.
You were just waiting for the command. Roll it.
Yeah, I was. I was too eager. But here we go. Ready?
Yep. Roll it.
Okay. This is Miracles by Jesus Culture.
Yes.
The one who made
the blind to see.
Yeah, you might not be able to hear it.
Moving here in front of me. Moving here in front of me.
Yes.
The one who made the deaf to hear. Is silencing my every fear. Silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible. Is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The God, Father of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. You're the Father of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the God of miracles. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are doing miracles for every listener who is tuned into this program that needs one. You know what miracle it is that they may be believing you for tonight. They are tuned into the Miracle Man radio program, which was not created by accident, but at all. It was created by people who love you, people who believe in your miracle working power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. That it was ordained by you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are still the miracle working God today. Thank you, Lord God, for this word tonight that I'm about to bring. Thank you that these listeners will have ears to hear it and a mind ready to understand it, a mind ready to grasp it. And I thank you, Master, for that. In your matchless name. And thank you that you're meeting every need. You know what they need, whether it be, you know, something with their finances, something with their body, you know, something with their schooling maybe, you know, something about their future. You know what it is that they need, and I thank you that you're meeting that need right now that is represented by them. And I pray that those who don't know you, may they give their life to you right now in Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases, that more and more listeners will come to this program. Most importantly, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to go with me, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians. And I want to look at chapter 6. And I want to look at verse 10. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the armor of God and what is it? Is it this ninja thing? Is it some armor that you wear to a comic convention just to look cool for comic's sake? Or is there something totally real behind it? What is it?
Right.
and why do we need it? And so I'm in Ephesians 6. I'm going to verse 10, listeners. If you've got a Bible or you've got a device with an app on it, open it. One time I said an app with a device on it, and I'm like, wait, what? Like the app is so big that it needs its own device? You know, like really? All right, but go to verse 10. I found my first verse, and I was just taking a little water sip, and hopefully by now you found it. If not, then don't leave me, Lucille. I mean, just go ahead and catch up. Okay, verse 10. Finally, as in like finally, brethren, some people might be thinking it when their pastor is about to be done preaching, you know, on Sunday morning, like when they're hungry, or, you know, maybe in the evening service or whatever. Please don't say that out loud in church. Please don't say finally. Like finally, brethren.
Right.
You know, please, you know, listeners, please don't do that. All right, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Or I like how the King James and New King James say it, where it'll say, like, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Mm-hmm. This one says, into the strength of his might.
In the strength of his might. Different versions will say it different ways. This is why sometimes I'll refer to a different version that I remember hearing it in.
Right.
You know, so that's why I sometimes do that. So therefore, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on half of the armor of God. Oh, wait, 70%. 80. Nope, 100. The whole armor of God.
Entire kit and caboodle.
They put on the whole armor of God that you were able to withstand the devil's schemes, fire, or some version will say the fiery darts of the enemy, the fiery darts. That's different than regular darts, folks.
Yes, they're fiery.
Yeah. So if you're in an arcade and you see a dart table, don't just go up to it and think it's not fiery. These darts that we're reading about, this is like the enemy.
Yes.
These are spiritual. So, on the whole, armor of God, so we can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, or the rulers, against the authorities, against, turning the page, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Did you see that,
oh,
folks? It says that again.
Rivers.
A second time. What?
Can I read the verse 12, the second half of verse 12?
Yep.
The way that it's written in this is the New American Standard Bible translation.
New ASV.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So this is chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
So, folks, that means like against wickedness, is what it's telling us. Therefore, put on the full armor of God.
The world forces
of this darkness. Yeah. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to withstand the evil day, or my version says, would be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The boots of peace, or as you could say it this way if you would like to, the boots of peace.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all of this, so in other words, he's basically saying he's not done. He's saying in the middle of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows. Oh, there's the fiery darts again.
Yep.
All the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is also
the word of God.
The word of God.
So the Bible.
The Bible.
Is your sword.
Yes. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Keep with this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. And that doesn't mean that when you pray in tongues, hopefully, when you pray in tongues, you're not just praying, seek the Holy Spirit. I've got to joke with that. I want cinnamon French toast and also a piece of blueberry French toast.
Yeah.
like, what if you pray for, like, you know, and you're building up your spirit? What if God hears it and just goes, oh, he just said he wants cinnamon French toast and blueberry French toast? like, oh, that's French toast for...
Oh, man. You must be fervently petitioning if you get touched with the Holy Ghost while praying for French toast.
It's just a little thought I've had over the years. And so I don't know where that came from. It's funny when you just think of stuff, folks, what comes in your mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is anything, if that does anything for you, listeners, but honestly, to me, that's funny. To me, it's funny.
Yeah.
Keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me that I will make known. the mystery of the gospel, which I am ambassador. And then that last little bit, it talks about Paul. But anyhow,
yes.
so this is...
You ended on verse 19,
correct? Yep, right. So this is talking about, the armor of God is not like this crazy, armor. It's not stuff you can go to the sporting goods store. You're not going to go to a Dick's Sporting Goods store or, a gun store or anywhere like this and find all these things.
Right.
I'm just saving you time. I'm saving you time looking on Amazon, going to the store, going to, to try to find these things and look for one that says Belt of Truth, Shield of Faith. You're not gonna find it.
And if you do, I got bad news. It's not the real deal.
It won't be the real deal because this stuff doesn't come in a box. And if you even find a pair of boots that says peace boots, that's not for that. It's so that you have the peace of God within you. It's like that God kind of peace, not the kind of peace that people will go on and say, I have peace of mind. I have, because there's like earthly peace of mind and, what have you. But when we as Christians say we feel at peace about something, I always hope we mean that God kind of peace. Whenever I say I'm at peace about something, that's what I mean, is that God kind of peace.
Yes.
This helmet of salvation, what is that? It's you being saved. And it's you being able to tell others, that you may see. Here's how you can get saved. First of all, it's the helmet of salvation. That's you knowing Jesus. And it's the helmet for a reason, because
it's guarding your mind.
You're guarding your mind. You're guarding your mind, your thoughts.
Yes.
This, folks, like what...
And salvation is what gives you that.
What Darlene Bishop Driscoll talked about yesterday, that mind of ours that we have to keep washing. That helmet of salvation is for our mind, that helmet of salvation. And football, like football players, they gotta wear a helmet to go play ball. And just imagine if they go out there without a helmet. That's how it'll be for us. We go out there, and our mind's not sanctified, and we
maybe,
don't know Jesus.
Maybe not physically, but
not
spiritually.
Spiritually speaking, it's like that.
Yes,
it would be like that for us going out there. Out into life, and not having that
protection from the flaming missiles of the enemy. No.
Of the enemy, and they'll come from all sorts of places. This happens, that happens. Other people, someone said something you didn't like. All kinds of things.
Oh yeah.
They'll come from all kinds of places. And it could be something you watched. Could be something you
a billboard you read on the interstate.
Billboard you read on the interstate while I was listening to and counting semis, and hopefully there were many, 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 many. That's part of why I loved this hotel I stayed at in Ohio so much.
Yeah.
Because I could literally open the window and hear the semis. Sadly, I didn't know it till the second night.
Oh, that's a missed opportunity.
Sadly, I didn't know it until the second night. I wish I knew it the first night. Had I known that, I would have been sleeping on the bed right by the window. And how do you put something next? I'm thinking about this. How do I put something next to the window so that my parents in the other bed cannot hear the semis?
Because they don't want to hear the semis?
So that they can sleep.
Right.
So that they can sleep. That's what I'm thinking. So they can sleep.
Yeah.
So they can sleep.
They
and
can
not
just
hear the sunlight that I
can
hear.
They can just get earplugs. We'll get your mom some earplugs, some pink ones for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So next time she doesn't have to hear the semis.
You know, because I didn't sleep. I purposely wasn't sleeping with the window open. But,
right.
You know,
yeah.
but even if I cracked it, we all know the reason would be why it would be so I could hear the wonderful semis.
Yes. And back onto the helmet of salvation.
But anyhow, that helmet of salvation, very important. You want that. The belt of truth around your waist, that's another very important piece, you know, and it's the truth. You'll be able to tell truth from lies. Oh, and by the way, even, you know, the misinformation, disinformation, false information, and all that comes in today. You don't know, and these days, you don't know whether to believe the media or not.
Right.
Because, you know, there's good and bad, and this person said this person said that. Why did they say it? When that was written, it was written for days like today, when you have all that kind of stuff going on. The breastplate of righteousness, not unrighteousness, because we're supposed to be righteous, not unrighteous, taking a stand.
Right.
And make a stand. Don't sit there and be a coward. It's so that you'll sit there and you'll make a stand and not, that you'll stand and make a stand and not sit there and be a coward.
Yes.
I think of during COVID, there were pastors who were being cowards and would not make a stand and close their and shut down their whole churches. And I'm not saying they should have all filled their sanctuaries and
right.
things like that, but when they just shut it down and didn't.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, water break.
Well, they shut it down just because, you know, we don't want to infect anybody. Well, you know.
Do you think that they
had
the breastplate of righteousness in mind in those points?
I think.
Your personal, yeah.
You know, everybody will have their own mind.
Yes.
But also, another big thing is there have been people who still have not come back to worship God even after the churches began to reopen.
That's true. I am not arguing that at all. I'm just the breastplate of righteousness. You were talking about the breastplate of righteousness.
Yeah. And so there's all these different pieces, you know, helmet of,
belt
and the sword of self, that belt of truth, there's the sword of the spirit. And this one, it says exactly what it is. It's the word of God.
Yeah.
The sword of the spirit is the word of God, the Bible. If you haven't put your nose in the book, get it in the book because, it'll show you things, and God will reveal things to you that you might not know. It's the Logos,
mm-hmm.
not logos, Logos,
yes.
The Word of God. I wouldn't want you to sit there and go, oh, Logos. So you just go online and start looking up logos, the different companies and all that. No, don't be doing that right now. You'll get so distracted so quick.
Yes.
And you'll be like, what's he talking about now? What logo is it? No, logos.
So is logos Greek?
Yeah, it's like Greek or
okay.
Word of God, Bible,
okay.
Word of God.
Okay.
That's what that logos is supposed to mean, not logos like, you know, company logos, this company,
yes.
that company.
Logos.
No, it's the logo,
Greek.
Word of God. Yep, it's this thing.
Yes.
And that has the answers in it for you as you go through this life. And then it also talks about having done all you know to do to stand, and it said keep standing. It didn't say, no, I've done all you've done to stand, sit down because you're tired. That's not what it said. It didn't say sit down because you're tired.
Right.
It said keep standing. And stand firm again. Stand firm again.
Yeah.
And what he's talking about is like spiritually speaking, he's not necessarily talking about, you know, your natural feet and how tired they might or not be, you know.
Yeah.
It's talking spiritual. So if you're thinking, oh, he wants me to stand there for 6 hours, that's not what he's talking about. He is talking about standing, you know, against the darts, being able to withstand, you know, the darts of the evil one. You know, those different fiery missiles that can just fire right at you.
Yep. That's actually a pretty good arrow. You did a good one.
That's literally what they sound like. And they can come upon you from all those different directions. But you'll be able to stand in that evil day, you know, and that, you know, it's talking about, what that's talking about is, you know, the last days, which we are not in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. And he's coming for us soon. Obviously, we don't know the day or hour, but we know that is what we know for sure. And I know it's even, you know, even Dr. Bishop Driscoll, she said yesterday, you know, on the last of the last days, and it's becoming more real every day. You're seeing it unfold, and you know, we'll get closer and closer. And she said it gets badder and badder, you know, but you know, you keep your hope and keep your hope in God, and you know, and you gotta just, you know, keep on keeping on. Get that whole armor of God. You know, not parts of it, not just the pieces that you like. Like, oh, I like this piece. Oh, that piece, no.
Yeah.
But the truth is you need it. It's very important if you're gonna be living today. Oh, and the shield of faith.
Oh, yeah.
It shields you.
Yeah.
You, that shield of faith is so important because and without faith, it is impossible to please God, meaning it's impossible to really ultimately go above and beyond and go from not just obeying him, but to pleasing him, making it so that he's really proud of you. And not just, you know, being sort of a little obedient son or daughter.
Okay.
You know, but in order to please him, you have to have faith. You have to. No faith, no pleasing God. And I think of this when you first give your life to Jesus. So at that point, you're, you know, a baby Christian. When you give your life to Jesus, you're given a measure of faith. Or people who are trying to sell a product or something, they will call that a starter pack. Eventually. I'm sure you bought some certain products before that might have come with these starter packs, haven't you?
I sure have.
Eventually, what happens to these starter packs? Don't they just last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, like for like, you know, 8 years and years?
Well, that hasn't been my experience, no. It's, you know, just to get you going most of the time.
Yeah, that starter pack runs out.
Yeah.
Eventually, that measure of faith
It needs to be replenished.
It will run out, and it needs to be replenished. How do I get my face built up, folks? Miracle Man, I mean. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means having the Word of faith spoken to you, read to you, you know, told to you by, you know, either by a program like this, or, you know, your pastor, you know, one of your, you know, your, whether it be a guest minister at your church, or, you know, different reverends that might speak, like at my church when Dr. Barclay's out of town.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how faith comes by.
But also, not just there, also at home.
You need to read it to yourself. You do need to read it too, but it doesn't come by just looking at it with your eyes.
Right.
That's
part of reading it, is reading it to understand.
Reading it to others, understand. Because guess what, folks? Eyes were not meant to extract faith.
No.
Your eyes alone were not made to. You can get it in your heart, you know, in your mind, you know, from hearing it. And then by applying that and having that faith built up and, you know, having that faith and having that faith experience and, you know, believing God, knowing that he will do what he said in his word without doubt. So no being like Thomas, who only missed one meeting, yet he doubted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw him, he's like, is that really you? And he doubted.
Yeah.
And so that is a, you know, also a very important one. They all have their own uses. Now, in the day of COVID, people might have said they probably should have had a mask of something. I would have said, about that, you do it. You want, I would have said, you know, just sort of a dose of, you know, the healing balm of Gilead for that case instead, you know.
I know of a church that the beginning of when COVID started to go around, before anything was mandated for shutdowns, they offered.
So like March 10th?
Maybe they offered to anoint every person in the service with oil and pray over them, that nobody would get sick, and nobody in their congregation ever got COVID.
That's good that they did that. So that was probably like March 8th.
But it was their faith. You know, we have the
faith
that God is anointing this choice.
And it was faith that they did that. It wasn't just some idea of nifty little, nope, they're spiritual.
It wasn't that the oil was magic. It wasn't that the oil was protecting them.
It was not magic at all.
No, it was the faith of the anointment.
Yep, it's based on faith. It's not based on some idea of, you know, some magic thing.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't do that whole magic thing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not the power of some silly magic thing, if someone were to come up to me and say, "Oh, do you believe in magic?" No, but I believe in God.
10-minute warning.
You don't believe in magic? No. I believe in the power of God.
Yeah.
If someone tries to say, "Oh, this place is so magical," I'd be like, "No,
this place
might be awesome."
Yes, this place is blessed and anointed,
and it's awesome. Because I had someone tell me that about a certain mall, somewhere. I want to say it was one of them in the Metro Detroit area.
Okay.
To which I was thinking, magical, no, but I will say it's awesome. I mean, I love this particular mall, and the
But it's not magical. We know magic isn't real.
Yeah, because it's not real.
The only Disney magic that exists is Disney magic, and we all know that Disney magic is a huge crew of people that make that magic happen. So we know it's not actual magic.
But folks, here's what it's not going to do. If you watch these movies, if you want to, and there's obviously there's some good ones, but these movies will not save your soul. They will not save your family. They will not heal your body. They will not heal your children's bodies. They will not build you up spiritually. They will not they're just fun if you want to watch them.
Yeah.
But I will admit there's some of them that I like, but at the same time, you know, we have to realize ultimately it's the Lord who does these true miracles.
Yep.
Not this so-called magic, because magic's not real. And I've heard where Disney says they're the most magical place on earth. No, they're not.
They're the most capitalist place on earth.
Most capitalist place, sure. Yeah. Go down there to Orlando or Anaheim, and you'll see for yourself.
Do you have a Glimmer of God end cap?
And about the sovereign thing, I will say, you know, these come from the Lord, and you can ask God to help you, you know, show you these, because like I said before, you're not finding these at the store. And it's really important that you get saved if you don't know Jesus. Ask him into your life right now. And all these other pieces, you know, belt of truth, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, boots of peace, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the spirit. They are all important. They all have important uses. And I can remember when I was little in the car driving, you know, to school, we would take my brother to school and then me. And while we were driving, you know, to my brother's school, we'd pray this prayer of, like, you know, I will love, received, and accepted. Greater is he who lives in me. I'll put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, you know, the boots of peace, the sword of the spirit, shield of faith. And we would pray that. And it was cool. We were doing that. And, you know, it was almost like she had wrote it up. But at the same time, you know, there was great use for it. We found it was good for us. And and, you know, there were times my mom would pray that over me, you know, no person with evil intent will come near, you know, and so if you're a mom or a dad, it's a great thing to pray that over your kids, you know, before you send them to school. If you're going to send them to public school, at least pray over them before they go in there.
Armor.
At least give them some armor that way so that they at least have something, you know, that you gave them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, for this armor of God. I pray that we would get it, this word on the inside of us, and that we would put it to use, as there are reasons behind it. There are uses for it, for this armor. And I thank you that we would realize this and understand what it's for and why it is so important. And I thank you, Master, for that, for revealing all this to these listeners. And I pray that we would be hearers of this word, doers of this word, and not hearers only. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.